Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you, Pastor James. I speak in many churches in this community, in different places around this state, and I know that I'm prejudiced, but I think we have the best worship leader and the best worship team in any church I've ever been to. We are blessed to have Pastor James. 4 years ago than I care to remember, when I was youth pastor here at then Interfaith Fellowship, now Living Hope Church, we had a young 14-year-old teenager by the name of Tim Kelly who was part of the youth group, and he was directed by the Holy Spirit, we know that, to go on a youth with a mission, a YWAM trip to Mexico, and God put a call in his heart to do missions. He's led many short-term mission trips for this church, and then God opened the door for Tim, Chrissy, and their family to be full-time missionaries over in Kenya. We supported him as a church. We loved him. He's a part of our church. He's going to minister to us. But before he does that, this handsome elder named Mike Walner is going to come and read some scripture as an introduction to the message. Mike, God bless you.
What's up, Living Hope? Morning. I hope you're all excited to be here this morning. If you're not excited, I want to encourage you to get excited. I believe that God's going to do something amazing this morning through His Word and through the special speaker we have. And I'm going to introduce him a little more in just a second. But as Gary said, I'm one of the elders here. And in part, I'm an elder because of the blessing that Tim Kelly has been to me and what he's poured into my life and my family's life. So I'm excited this morning to share God's Word with you, and I'm excited to hear what Tim has to say. So please follow along as I read from Acts chapter 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child. From the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem, they have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope and what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. About noon, King Agrippa, I was on the road and I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, who you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.' So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day, so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses have said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You're out of your mind, Paul," he shouted.
Your great learning is driving you insane. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. Then the king rose, and with him the governor, and Bernus, and those sitting with him. After they left the room, they began saying to one another, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So this morning, I think we're blessed, not only by this word, but to hear from Tim this morning, what he's going to share. As Jerry mentioned, he's led many, many short-term mission trips. I've been fortunate and blessed to participate in a lot of those trips with him. And now he and his family serve full-time as missionaries of Bethany and Living Hope Church in Kenya. And I just ask you all to stand up and give Tim a big round of appreciation as he comes forward this morning.
Thank you. What a day today is. Beautiful day. Sunshine. I get to be here home back in Green Bay. I love you guys. Walking around seeing people over the years, you know, this was home for, you know, 30 years. And so being gone for 5 years and coming back and realizing, you know, how much appreciation we have for you. I'm going to have my wife stand up and my sons, Caden and Micah, and just so you can see who they are. We also have us, just wanted you to know who they were in case you aren't familiar with us, but we've been part of this fellowship for 25 years before we headed out to Kenya, and we're asked to go there. I'm always leery when somebody gives me a scripture to preach on. And I'm supposed to give, you give the word and you still have to talk about ministry, right? You still have to talk about all the things that you're doing in Africa and you're trying to get that across because we're very limited on our time and being here back in the country. Because of the support that you guys have given us, we need to give testimony of those things. But God is always good. He always gives you scriptures that end up challenging you, making you reflect on the things that you do, and let me just get it out straight, that this scripture, every time I read this scripture, it challenges me to the core. It challenges me more than anything else. And when I get in positions of struggle, when I get in positions where things are hard, I like to argue with God. It's my nature. I always lose. I always lose. God is a good God. And so today's title that you have seen is How Big Is Your God? And I titled it that because this scripture really reflects a lot of me because when I, like Jerry said, at the age of 15, I went down to Mexico City on a mission trip and basically got saved. I went on a mission trip and got saved. How do you like that? Okay? God challenged me to give my life to Him. And when you give your life to God, it changes you. And when you are changed, you are therefore required to give testimony. Okay? When you are changed, you are therefore required to give testimony. Paul was changed on the road to Damascus. He was therefore required to do what God has asked him to do. And his life was changed. I have the privilege to live in Africa. I have the privilege to be in Nairobi to give testimony of what God has done in me. Now, I can share scriptures, I can do all sorts of things, but to me, I am giving testimony of what God has done inside my life. And I am giving testimony of what He has done and has changed me. And if you knew me before, and you see me after, you would know something has happened. Now, I like being in Africa because when you talk to Kenyans and you are sharing God's word, or you're talking about God, or you're talking about any of those things, you never get in an argument about, is there a God? You never do. They naturally believe there's a creator. It's in their culture. Their culture tells them there is a creator. In America, not so much. I've met many people in the States who don't believe in God. Maybe not even know who Jesus is. So the first thing you end up doing is you end up arguing, is there really a God or is there not a God? But in Africa, I don't have those issues. Jerry, last week when you spoke, you talked about life not being fair. And those scriptures from last week really made me have to think. And the reality is life's not fair. Praise God. Because if life was fair, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble. If God truly, truly judged us according to our deeds and judged us according to who we are, it's not looking good. But because He is who He is, and because of His mercies and His love, we get to receive the kingdom of God. We get to have a relationship with the God who created the entire universe, wants to have a relationship with you. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, that's like unbelievable. If you really sit down and think about it, that is unbelievable. The God who created the entire universe wants to have a relationship with you and has given you a pathway to have a relationship with Him. You see, sin separates you from God. And if sin separates you from God, you can't have a relationship. But because of His Son and all that He's done, you can have a relationship with God. Now, in the scripture, Paul was a Pharisee. Paul knew the scriptures. And yet he was brought to trial by other Pharisees who wanted to kill him, who wanted him destroyed, basically wanted him dead. He was required to give testimony. You see, it's interesting when you look at, they call this scripture his defense. And, you know, basically he gives his testimony, but he's talking to King Agrippa. And the nice thing about this is King Agrippa knows the scriptures. You see, in that day, many people didn't necessarily know the scriptures. They had to go to the mosque in order to hear the scriptures. We are blessed. We have the scriptures on our pads. We have them on our phones. We have them all over the place. I mean, in my house, I probably have a dozen Bibles. Really? I mean, I can read scripture anytime I want, at any moment. They were not that fortunate back then. They didn't do that. They had to go to the mosque and they had to hear it from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Told them how things were. Would read the scriptures before them. So these were the men who studied scriptures, and yet Paul's defense was, all I'm telling you, if you read it, is what Moses said. I'm telling you, on this day, I believed as you, but on that day, Jesus came into my life, and Jesus transformed me, and He showed me in the scriptures who He really was. And so you have Sadducees and Pharisees who do not believe what Paul is saying, even though it was written in the scriptures. That blows my mind when I think about it. When I read the scripture, you know, in verse 8, where, how do you believe that Jesus couldn't be raised from the dead? How do you believe that God can't raise people from the dead? If you read the Old Testament, He did miracles all the time. So really, the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't believe in a big God. You know, their hope, Paul was saying their hope was in the 12 tribes, and the 12 tribes' hope was in the Messiah who was supposed to come. And the scriptures lay it out before them, and yet they don't want to believe it. And they can't sell it Paul because Paul points it to it. He's pointing the scriptures to Jesus and showing them that all they need to do is repent. Oh, see, there's the key, right? Repent. Who wants to repent? It's not fun repenting. So, in the last year or two, being in Kenya, we've gone through some trials. And, you know, me and my last wife kind of look back and we need to write a book, really. The stuff that's happened ever since the church decided to send us and we agreed to it, if you've been following us from the beginning, you know, our flight going to Kenya and the airport burning down and just this is one thing after another. And we look at that and we see all these trials and we see all these things and we look at each other and we're like, really? Really? Is this really what God has for us? Is this really where we're going? And, you know, when I start reading scriptures when I go to the scripture of James 1:2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, wherever you face trials of many kinds. I don't like that scripture. To be completely honest, I don't like it. The reality is, I don't like a lot of things in life. And so last week's message, man, you know, life's not fair, and I like to tell God all that all the time. God, what is going on? Why do I have to go through these trials? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do this? And God reminds me all the time, it's about building your character. It's about building who you're supposed to be. So you can be that testimony, and you can be that light where I've called you to be. You know, I think about my kids. I love my kids to death, and I know when they're growing up, you know, you discipline them, you try to teach them the way, and, you know, it's good for them, right? It's good for them. And one of the things that we've decided to do is, with our daughter McKenna and our son Thomas, transitioning back from Africa to the States is kind of difficult. So one of the things we thought was, you know, if they went to our alma mater, which is Bethany International and Bethany Global University, they could get their feet on the ground, they could stay there all year round, they can learn theology. It's a good thing to do. So we challenged them. We said, you know, if you want to come back to the States, we'll help you, because we can't help you a lot, but we can help you get on the ground there. And so the thing is they have to study and they have to do a lot of things that they don't like. And when I was there, I had to do things that I didn't like. And when I was a kid growing up, I had to do things that I didn't like. And so when I read scripture like that scripture, you know, consider it pure joy, my brothers. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, consider it pure joy. Let me tell you something. There's a movement, I don't know, maybe this is hard. I don't live here, so I see a lot of things from outside the culture. And I start to see things that are kind of moving in the culture. And social media has really changed this society. It really has. And there's an anger, and there's things that are going on in the society that are just evil. They just are. Okay? But one of the things that I've seen, I even seen it on Life magazine, was putting it up. It was being happy. Do what makes you happy. That's the movement, right? So you can feel good. You know what? That is so not scriptural. It is the opposite. God has never, never said that, you know, I've created you to be happy. That's not scriptural. God says, I will give you joy. That's different. I have found joy in tribulation. I have found joy in the things that I don't like. I have found joy in hardship. Do I enjoy hardship? Ask my wife. No, I do not. I don't. Trials build character. Trials build... Here's the honest truth. You know, one of the things that we have to do as Christians is we have to seek truth. Okay? And we're trying to seek truth to the best of our ability. The best of our ability is not the way man thinks of truth. We need to understand, how does God think of truth? Okay? So this scripture is God's truth. So when I start to create and I start to think in my mind, how does God think, I can get in danger. That's a dangerous thing. Okay? Let me give you a perfect example. And I think Celebrate Recovery does a really good job at this because it causes you to expose what's inside, and it causes you to speak out the things that you struggle with. Right? That's kind of a lot of what Celebrate Recovery does. The thing about this is if you have a mindset that God is similar to the way you think, you're going to get in trouble. Let me give you an example. God says, ask for forgiveness, and I will forgive you, and I will forgive it as far as the east is from the west. Okay? That means God has forgotten it. The problem with us is we ask for forgiveness, but we still have a mentality that God is like us and he still remembers. I ask for forgiveness, he forgives me, but I'm still a creep because I still did what I did. Or God doesn't approve of me because I still did that in the past. God doesn't approve of me because of what I've done. When you ask God for forgiveness, your sin is like a drop of water. And when you ask for forgiveness, it's like dropping that drop of water into the ocean. Because the ocean represents God's forgiveness. And the ocean represents his love. And when that drop, it's like a drop of blood, right? It's red. And it drops into the ocean. Do you think you're going to be able to find it in like 2 seconds? If you walk over to the bay and you look across Lake Michigan, which is very tiny compared to the ocean, the ocean's like God's love. When he says in his scripture that he forgets it like the east is from the west, you have to realize it's forgotten. You have a clean slate. You can come to the Father and you can share your love with him. You can share with him. You can talk with him. Problem is we ask for forgiveness and then we're like, oh, yeah, but, you know, I'm a jerk. But God loves you. And God has given you something for the society that's around you that's falling apart. God is a gentleman. He loves you. He has a passion for you. And when you give your life to him, guess what? You are going to change the people around you. You do. Your greatest testimony is the fact that you are changed. And you know what? If you're not changed, then there's a problem. And the thing is, 25 years, I've been a Christian before I got to go overseas. And guess what? I've been there for 5 years and I'm constantly having to be changed. And I don't like it. I really don't. I'm like, okay, God, you know, I think we've changed enough this year. Maybe we can get a little smoother. It would be nice. Maybe I'm that stubborn. Because when I read scripture, it always comes back to me and the things that I need to change in my life. And when I start to change those, I affect the people around me. I'm telling you, this year, me and my wife talked about, so one of the ministries we have is we started printing, and we print scriptures, and we print, and last time I was here, we talked about pocket Bibles, and we raised a lot of money for that, the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you start doing stuff that affects his kingdom, this is the enemy's kingdom. Because the enemy is controlling people. And the scripture tells us that we are in a spiritual warfare. And we live in a spiritual climate. And if we can't see that, we're in trouble. So we have to be putting on the full armor of God. And we have to be effective in our communities because of that. But if we don't do that, we're going to struggle, man. We're going to struggle. And I look at this last year, and I look at all the stuff that has gone on, and I'm like, if I was the enemy, and I was going to come up with a plan to destroy what we are doing, it would just have been like half as much as what happened. I'm like, are you kidding me? And the thing is it's 12 months since I took over the full leadership of Publish for All, so I oversee 100 and some sites around the world, 62 countries, and it's been an amazing thing. We have a guy in Uganda that is printing and changing lives. And the thing is the enemy doesn't like that stuff. The thing is, no matter what he did, it didn't matter. because I serve a big God. And everything that happened, God already knew. God's like, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I'm like, well, why don't you do something about it? He is, I am. I'm changing you. It's like, really? Man, we need a lot of changing. We're not perfect people. We need to learn to love. We need to learn to encourage. We need to learn to be the light in our communities. Everywhere we are. And God has been doing some really amazing things through the ministry that we got going on there. But it's God's ministry. You know, it was a point where me and Chrissy had to sit down and go, well, I'll just be completely honest with you right now. Something happened to one of our employees, and it was pretty serious. And so he's going through some trials. So I was praying for him, and instead of praying for him, I started to tell God, you know he needs to do this. He needs to do this. He needs to do this. If he doesn't do that, he's just going to go there. And if he doesn't do that, he's going to end up here. And Lord, he really needs to change. And I think God just kind of smiles and listens to us. And you know what I got back? I'm like, I got back, yeah, but are you willing to change? I know that's what you're telling him to do, but are you willing to do it? Are you willing to change? So I came to Chrissy, I told her that. I said, you know, I've taken on the ministry to the point where it's like personal. So I take on the stress, I take on the issues, I take on the, you know, if you follow our email, you realize the container was lost, and we got three systems that are stuck, and just financially, it's just been a huge burden. And, you know, and Scripture says, what? Cast your burdens, right? But am I doing that? No. I like to be stubborn. If I was reading the Scripture, I'd realize that if I just turn that over to Him. So, you know, we got down and we said, okay, God, this is for you. This is yours. It's no longer ours. We give this to you. If it means removing us, remove us. Let it survive. Let it do what it needs to do. And let it bless you and honor you in everything it does. And as soon as I did that, boom, it was gone. I was like, man, I slept through the night. I was doing all that. I was like, why did it take me so long to figure that out? I'm like, I know the Scripture. I understand God's Word. But why am I not allowing it in me to change me? Because I'm stubborn. Some of the greatest things that have ever happened to me in my life is when I got down on my knees and I held that I held so dear, and I put it before God, and He took it away. And He gave me something in return. He's given me a joy. He really has. Am I happy all the time? Not so much. It's not an easy place to live. It's got a great climate, but security issues and the corruption that goes on, and being pulled over by police, and all the day-to-day stuff starts to grind on you. But when you go to God in the morning and you ask for a refreshment and you ask Him to meet you and you ask Him to touch you, it's an amazing thing. So here's something that God has given us. God has given us a vision for one of the things that I struggle with. We print, right? We're printing these pocket Bibles. So it means Scriptures are available to the average people. And that's where my heart is. It's the average Kenyan. So the average Kenyan makes $5 a day. Okay? So if the average Kenyan makes $5 a day and he goes into a Christian bookstore and the book's $15, that's 3 days' wages. Do you think he's going to buy a book? Probably not. If you think about it in terms of an American, if you figure out what you make in a daily wage, even if you say you made, you know, minimum wage, say it's whatever, 10 bucks an hour, we'll just do that. You know, you work 8 hours a day, it's 80 bucks. 3 days' wages, $160. When's the last time you paid 160 bucks for a book? You don't. You wouldn't. Why would you? It's too much. So it's like, feed my family or read this book. Feed my family. So my heart is for that. My heart is for the people who, because what happens is, they go to church and they hear the scriptures being preached, but they don't have them with them. So it's very similar to back in the day. They had to go to the synagogue to hear the preacher preach, right? Well, my heart is for the individuals who can start to read and get into scriptures. When I read scriptures, it changes me. That's my heart for these people. Can they afford to do that? So what we came up with is, can we start to develop these little shops? And what we wanted to do is, instead of the nice Christian bookstores, which are $15, $20 a book, which is what we have here, similar, very similar, is we want to start these little shops. So we call it Chai and Books. So kind of like coffee and books, you know, because everybody likes to drink coffee. Kenya, everybody likes to drink chai. So we thought, let's come up with that. So Chai and Books. So we started our first one June 1st. So in Chai and Books, we have 300 and some books in that store, and none of the books are over $5. Everything's $5 or under. And we have the pocket Bibles, and we have a whole series of little booklets, and they're all 60 cents. We even have some stuff for 20 cents, 10 cents, little coloring books, Bible stories, 6 pages, 20 cents. Somebody walks in there, they can spend 10 cents and still get something. Now, if you made $5 a day, 10 cents, not so bad. 50 cents, it's possible. So, now how do we get the word out? Well, we started this bookshop, and one of our thoughts was, one of the issues with Africa is distribution. So all these publishers in America are trying to get Christian books into Africa, but they can't figure out the distribution network. Because in America, it's just Amazon.com, right? You order the book and you get it the next day. First world problems. In Kenya, you can't do that. In Uganda, you can't do that. You can order the book, but you may never see it. You can pay for it. Chances of getting it, not so good. There's no addresses. Most of the place, street signs are hard to come by. Nairobi, okay. Get outside Nairobi, good luck. Google Maps, not so good. I was on Google Maps for about 40 minutes and I found it, ran into a river. Turn around, go back. That's how it works. It's just so different. So that's what they struggle with, is distribution. Well, did you know if you were in a car and you're going downtown for a meeting and you needed a tie, you can buy one on the street. There are hawkers everywhere. We call them hawkers, guys that sell stuff on the street. So our thought was, what if we started selling these stuff on the streets? What if we used the distribution that's already there? So our thought was, is let's partner with a ministry, a church, or somebody who has evangelistic heart, and let's give them a chai of books. Cost me $2,000. So we started a chai of books. We put in 200 of these pocket Bibles. We put in all this stuff so they could start to sell it. Well, his responsibility is to find me 12 hawkers. He has to find 12 hawkers that will sell those books. If he can get 12 hawkers to start selling these books, then the numbers work for that guy to be self-sufficient. He can start providing for his family. He can start making an income. It's 40% unemployment in Kenya. Could you imagine if we had 40% unemployment here? That's the norm for Africa. Africa has 40% unemployment. That's where my heart is. That's where I see we can start to make a difference. Because if you can start to get into people and you start getting the Word of God into them, things are going to start changing. There's a lot of preaching that goes on there because there's a lot of prosperity gospel. That's the easiest thing to push. Prosperity gospel works best where the poorest of the poor are. Because everybody wants to be rich, right? It even works in America, right? It feels good to have big things. That's not promised in the scriptures. There's nothing about any of that speech is promised in the scriptures. God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, wise. Nah, that's a tough one. God says he'll give you joy. Look at the 12 disciples. What did they do? What did they do after God gave them the gift? He gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit. That changed. So when you read scripture, you read truth. And you need to study the truth. And when you study the truth, it starts to change you, and it starts to change you in ways that are amazing.
But you can ignore it. You can go day to day and just, you know, do your thing. But when you start to understand who God really is, and the God of the Bible, not the God of man or the God of the person that I think who God is, but the God of the Bible, He's written to you. He's written a love letter. It's giant. It's right here, and it's for you. So when you read this, it starts to change you for the better. Now, when I told you about my kids, like McKenna now has went through Bethany. She's now in France, and really thank you guys for helping to support her. She's basically on a 16-month mission trip. My son Thomas is about to do that. And guess what? They struggle. Go figure. When you do ministry for God, you're going to struggle. It's the best thing for them. It really is. We were lucky enough to, we did a two-flight stop, and we stopped in Marseille where my daughter was. We spent a week with her. And she's learning French. She's learning French. She's in full-time ministry, and she's a full-time student. So she's online doing a full course. She has to get all her homework done. She still has to go to ministry, which is half a day, up to 6 hours some days, four to 6 hours. And then on top of that, she has to learn a language. She's doing all that. You know what? Life's not fair sometimes. And you know what? Her character is being so developed. If I took that all away from her, and I said, oh, don't work so hard. Let me pay for this. Let me do for this. My son right now has to raise money to go to China. Wouldn't it be easy just write him on a check? Yeah, it would be easy. But you know what? He has to engage with people. He has to talk with people. He has to tell them what God is doing in his life. How awesome is that? Why? Because it's building his character. It's building in him. He has to really search God and go, God, what are you calling me to do? Man, am I blessed. I really am. To be able to have kids that are seeking God. Now, whether they become missionaries, as long as they're seeking God, I'm happy. You know, if we're not being challenged on a daily basis, and we're not looking to what God is going to do in us and what we need to change, you know, we're spoiled, right? We're not doing what God is called us to do. Trials are good for us. I remember back in the day, Jim Erickson, when he preached a couple times, he said, when you're walking your day-to-day life, and he said, if you're not having spiritual battles, you better check your Christianity. You should check your walk. Where are you with God? What is God doing in your life? If you're not struggling, then the enemy doesn't think much of you. Where is God in your life right now? What are you doing? Are you seeking Him? Are you challenged? Are you going after what He has for you? I have been more challenged in the last 5 years than I've ever been in my entire life. But I am thankful. And I am joyful that God has done such amazing things in my life. Right now, we are in our ministry. We have 12 employees. 12 people who didn't have jobs. 9 of them have families. We provide health care. We provide all sorts of things for them. Their kids are going to school. There is public school, but it's really bad. So they go to private schools because they can afford to pay. God has done that. I haven't done that. You guys allowed us on your behalf to be able to do things like that. When we started printing, we were doing 100 books to 200 books a week. We thought that was a great thing. We now do 1,500 to 2,000 books a week. And if we do those pocket Bibles, we could probably do 4,000 a week. I mean, we do some really cool things, and people's lives are being changed in amazing things because we're blessing ministries, and we're blessing. And it's all because God has allowed us to be a vessel for Him. And thank you for allowing us to do that. Thank you for allowing us to go on your behalf and to be able to do those things. We could not do that without you guys. But God is a good God. Don't hesitate. Don't think that God is the God that you think He is. He's so much bigger than that. God has amazing things for you in your life, but you have to be open to Him. You have to allow Him in, and you have to allow Him to go. Now, whenever I get up here on stage and talk, it's usually for me. So most of this that's going on is coming back. I need to allow Him into my life more. I need to read more. I need to really understand what He's doing. So I want to bless you guys today, because you're this church. We wouldn't be there if it wasn't for it, and my kids wouldn't be doing what they're doing if it wasn't for this church. And I can't thank you enough for that. But my blessing upon you is seek God like you've never seen Him before. If you want something to change and you're struggling in these areas, reveal it to Him. Get it out. So, you know, when they come in and they get it out, it's like, I bet those people are just like, what? You know, when you get that junk out of you and God comes in you, there's nothing like it. And so the last part of that scripture that I wanted to get to, I didn't even get to. The part with that scripture is there's so much scripture in there, it's hard to get to it all. But Festus said to Paul, what, are you insane? Insane? No. He goes, I'm just telling you what Moses and the rest of them told. I'm just telling you what happened to me and how Jesus has changed me, and the scriptures reveal it. I'm not insane. Are you insane not to understand that? You're the one who understands scripture, right? How do you not see it? How are you so blind? And what did Jesus say to Paul? He said, I am going to send you so that the blind will now see, and those that are caught up in, you know, in the evil, in Satan's grasp, will be released and free. When you release the crap that's inside of you, when you get rid of it, you say, God, I'm finally willing to do this. And when you do it, and He comes into you, there's nothing like it. When you know, people struggle with theology a lot of times, and they're like, you know, I just don't understand it. When Christ comes into you, it gets revealed. It's not so hard. Because the scales are gone. I see who God really is. And He loves me, and He loves you. You know, God works the opposite of the way we think. You know? You get in an argument. Do you ever watch, you know, Facebook, all these social medias? What is it? It escalates pretty fast, doesn't it? And what does Scripture say? A soft answer turns away. You know the Scripture works every time. But we don't want to apologize. We don't want to, you know. So here's my blessing to you. Seek God with all your heart. He'll fill you. Seek Him. Go after it. Don't settle for the little stuff. Go after it. If God's got big things for each and every one of you, because He's God. Who do you think created you? Well, I don't know if God has a purpose for me. Oh, why did He create you? Right? He created you in the womb for a purpose, for a reason. That's about as simple as it gets. It's not that hard. Every one of you sitting here, He's created you for that reason. Amen? I'm going to let Jerry come back. And, I really do want to just overemphasize how grateful we are for each and every one of you, the people that support us and pray for us. And when you get the emails of the stuff that I'm struggling with and stuff like that, there's nothing stronger in our lives to know when people are praying for us, because it drastically changes everything that we're doing. So thank you so much. And God bless you guys.
Amen. Thank you, Tim.
We're going to take an offering. And if you have a check, you can make it out to Living Hope Church. We are so proud of Tim and Chrissy and the family.